We are in the last week. We did a little mini-series in the book of Psalms. Psalm 62 is where we're going to be today. And if you've got your Bibles, open up to the book of Psalms, Psalm 62. It's been a few years ago. I had the opportunity to take a hiking trip with three other buddies. And I don't look like a hiker because I'm not a hiker, all right? I trained for almost a year to do this. We were hiking into the Grand Canyon, and we were going to camp. We did. We camped down in the bottom at a place called Phantom Ranch down in the area. We had to get permits. We had to do all these things. I was one of the ones that said, I don't want to spend the extra money for Phantom Ranch. Let's tent camp. Let's do the deal if we're going to do it. So we load up. I'm Mr. Inexperienced. I took way too much pack. I had probably had a 50-pound pack going down. We went down a trail on the south end, on the south rim, the south of it. It was called the Bright Angel Trail. It was 6 miles down. I mean, it was steep. We're headed down. Oh, my goodness. I was burning by the time I got down there. It was unbelievable. But I wanted to get down quick. We get down to the bottom. I was with some experienced folks. And we find a spot, we set up camp, because we're going to spend the next 2-3 days on the Colorado River. That night, they came through the campground telling all of us who didn't pay for the shelter, there's going to be a flash storm come through. And with flash storms, there could be flash floods. We're on the Colorado. Everything feeds into it. Great. I'm with a guy. We are in a little two-man tent. And it was already cramped, and the wind starts blowing. We got our packs out of the bear hooks. We took those out. We're sleeping. His head's on this end, his feet right here, my head right here, my feet down there. I mean, he's smelling me, I'm smelling him. We end up bringing those packs, we stick them in the corners, and we hold on for dear life. That thing is blowing, it's shaking, rain's coming. All I could remember as a kid was the little television show that said, don't touch the roof of the tent. It'll start dripping as you're on me. So I'm just holding on. In that moment, I want to tell you, my shelter, my friend, all the little everything, I'm thinking, I don't trust any of this. My confidence was gone. It was gone. Now, fast forward to the rest of the story. I made it. I'm here today. All right? You know, in the middle of that, I thought, man, I've got a tent. We're big dudes. We're holding this thing down. But I will tell you, my confidence in my buddy and in my shelter was gone. It was gone. Today, in this room, right here, there are many of you, you're counting on these little, what I would call mini saviors, like your tent, your shelter, your bud. You're putting your trust and your confidence in something that's going to let you down. I promise you. I promise you it's going to let you down. You've tried all, you're in a lot of pain, and someone has said, if you'll take this pill, it's going to save you. And it hadn't. You're in a medical situation, and it's a real medical situation. You've gone to 4 or 5 doctors, but if I go to this doctor, and you're using that doctor as a mini-savior, and he's not going to be able to save you. You're thinking, man, all of my friends, they've all deserted me, they've all gone, but this person right here, if I can trust in this person, they're going to save me from my loneliness. This guy, this girl, listen, what I'm not getting at home with my spouse, they're going to save my emotional tank and they're going to fill it. Can I tell you that all of those many, not M-A-N-Y, but M-I-N-I, those many saviors are going to leave you empty. They're going to leave you empty. We're in the book of Psalms, and you may be wondering, Kyle, why do we get into the book of Psalms? Well, we get into the book of Psalms because of this. We do this just about every summer. We'll take a little side jaunt, we'll stop down, and we'll plop down for a few minutes. And the reason we get into the book of Psalms is because King David and those others who have written those psalms, those songs, those prayers, is because they've been exactly where we are today. They've experienced what we've experienced. Theologian John Calvin, in his commentary on Psalms, he says this, when your soul is languishing, the book of Psalms gives you language. So the reason that we go to the book of Psalms, whether we're in good times, we're in bad times, whether we're in lament, whether we're angry, whether we're fearful, whether we are languishing, we go because we realize that the Lord God has given us language. He's given us His Word. He's given us for the place that we are in our day and time. And many of us are in some of those places. You're huddled up next to a friend that you think is going to be a savior. You're huddled up in a tent that's going to leak. You're here today because the Lord God has said, "Come to me, all who are laboring, all who are weary, all the many saviors you've put up, I'm going to tear them down because I'm the one you need." And so this is where we are today. This is what Psalm 62, and I want to say this passionately. Listen, it doesn't matter where you are today, Jesus is the answer for where you are today. He's the answer. And the psalm that we have, He's the only one who can save you in the situation that you're in today. And the psalm that we have is going to explain that, going to declare that to us today. Psalm 62, we're going to read this together. So if you don't mind, would you stand? I say we're going to read it together. I'm going to read it on our behalf. But if you'll stand for the reading of God's word. Psalm 62, beginning in verse 1, David writes it, a psalm of David. "For God alone, my soul waits in silence, for from Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. Selah. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rest my salvation and my glory. My rock, my refuge is God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. For you will render to a man according to his work." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. A couple of weeks ago, Jordan Raven, our campus pastor in Brussels, came and he spoke out of Psalm 2. And he wanted us, the psalmist wants us to hear that his anointed one, God's anointed one, Christ, is on the throne. And that all the things that are happening that come at you, to give us hope, the psalmist wrote to say, listen, one day, that anointed one is going to come. He's going to crush the nations to give us hope in the midst of where we are. Last week, as we were reading in Psalm 23, if you weren't here, you'll want to go back and go through that. Psalm 23 is written to help us to know that God is our protector. He's the one that pursues us with goodness and mercy. He's the one that provides for us to give us hope in the midst of where we are. And so today, as we read in Psalm 62, the hope that the Lord God wants to give us through the writer is that He alone, He is the alone, is the one who will save us. He alone is our rock. He alone is our refuge. He alone is our reward. I don't know if you caught this. If you didn't, those are the three points that I'm going to go through today. I don't know if you caught this, but in verses 1 and 2 and 5 through 7, look at those real quick in your passage. Verses 1 and 2 and 5 and 7 repeat those things over and over. It's like the psalmist, David, he doesn't want us to forget it. He wants us to hear that God is my rock, God is my refuge, and God is my salvation. He says it in three different places. He is hammering it home. And can I tell you this? I need to hear that. You know why? Because I'm a forgetful person. And even as your pastor, oftentimes, I end up trying to set back up little mini saviors that I think are going to fix everything that I need. And you know what the Lord has to do? He has to come to me and knock those over again and say, no, no, no. I alone, Christ alone, I alone am your rock and your refuge and your salvation. Look with me for just a couple of minutes here, and we're going to kind of go through this psalm, not as orderly as I like, because I want you to be able to, I want to point out several different things here. The first thing I want you to see when we're talking about God alone is my rock is this. We don't know exactly when David wrote this. He could have wrote this when he was a shepherd musician in the house of King Saul. While he's strumming, he's writing songs, he's putting out his prayers. And in the midst of this, King Saul is trying to kill him from becoming the anointed king. I think at some point, I don't know how, somehow, some way, I believe there came a point where Saul recognized this is going to be the anointed one. It could be that after David became the anointed one, the king of Israel, that his son Absalom began to try to drive him from his own kingdom, rebelled against him. It could be then that he wrote this. I don't know. Just like I don't know in this room right now what situation you're sitting in that you need hope and you need encouragement in, that God is your rock, he's your salvation, and he's your reward. I don't know what it is that you're facing, but I know this. This was written so that you and I would have hope in the middle of where we are today. David was consistent, though. Turn back over to Psalm 18. Go back over to Psalm 18 if you don't mind. You got your Bibles there? I want you to see this. Psalm 18, verse 2. David is writing, and he says this. Notice the repetition. He says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold." Listen, David was consistent, whether it was before Saul, whether it was after Saul, whether it was with Absalom, whether it was in the field. David recognized that the only hope he had, the only one who could solve his situation, the only one who could be his rock, his firm foundation, was God alone. It was God alone. And I want to say to us today in here, okay? Listen, Jesus is our firm foundation. If you've surrendered your life to Christ, do you know that your feet are on the rock? There's another psalm that talks about David. One of the writers says that he feels like he's in a pit, a miry clay, and the Lord God takes him out and he sets his feet on a rock so that he's strong. Folks, whatever it is that you're facing today, whatever it is that you're running to, whatever it is that you're setting up and you're thinking, that's going to fix it, that's going to fix it. The only thing that's going to solve your issue is Jesus alone. He's it. It is God alone. Do you remember in the New Testament, Jesus told a lot of stories. They were parables. There were earthly stories that had a heavenly meaning. He's wanting us to see something about the kingdom. And what he's wanting in this particular one, he's talking about two people who build their houses on different foundations. One builds their house on, he says, shifting sand. And another one builds his house on a firm foundation of a rock. And he says, the rain comes, the storms come. There's a flood that's happening. They're holding on. What happens to the house with shifting sand? The scripture says that it crumbles. It falls. I want to say this to you today. If you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, your foundation is on shifting sand. And I can promise you, like the cracks in your house, or if you've seen them going up the wall, I'm so sorry that's happening. But I want you to know, there are cracks in your life, and if you don't turn to where the firm foundation, the rock of Jesus Christ, your house will eventually tumble. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, he is pointing us in that parable and in this passage. David writes that no matter what happens, God is his rock. It's where he turns. It's where his foundation is. Why is it that he's having to turn to a foundation? Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. In fact, I'm going to get to why. I want you to see this, though. David in verse 2 says this. He says, He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. You know what the implication is there? That David is shaken. That's the implication. In this room today, all of us have situations that we feel like, ooh, they're coming at us. You realize we can't get away from hardship. You realize we can't get away from sickness. We can't get away from broken relationships. We can't get away from financial stress. Do you know people who have more money and they have more, I mean, like they're money. Do you realize they still have stress? They still have stress. But the promise is that David says, because God is my rock, he is my fortress, he is my salvation, I will not be greatly shaken. Have you ever looked at somebody and you're looking at their life and you see all of the things that are happening and you're wondering, how are they making it? And as you talk to them, you then begin to realize, oh, all you're hearing is that Jesus, 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 he's put me where I am. I'm trusting him. This is a situation right here where, as the psalmist says, as David writes, I won't be greatly shaken. You don't want to be greatly shaken, then you turn to God alone, who is your rock. He's your rock. He's your firm foundation. Notice the second thing, though, he says. He says, God alone is my refuge. God alone is my rock. God alone is my refuge. What is a refuge? I learned what a refuge was on that hike. As I'm headed down that really steep trail, the reason I say it was steep, 6 miles down, it took 13 miles to come out. All right? I mean, we were bump, 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 bump. But everywhere along the way, they would have these little pull-offs, these little lean-tos, where you could stop, you could rest, pull off, you could get out of the elements, you could get out of the sun, you could get out of the rain, and I'm telling you, I had to take advantage of those refuge, those places. We saw a couple where there were little phones. I'm in the bottom of the canyon, but I had a phone. I looked like antique, where I found out you could call and say, get me out of here now. I'm in distress. A shelter. I'm sitting here thinking, while I was down in the bottom of the canyon, I wish I'd have went ahead and came off my cheapskate and got into the Phantom Ranch. I needed a real shelter. Folks, today, this is what David is speaking to us about, that God is his refuge, his place, his shelter that he runs to. Why is that? Notice in verse 3 what he says here. In verse 3, he says, how long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? David is being bombarded. We don't know exactly what it is, but he's being bombarded. In fact, he says, how long will you attack a man and bombard him? You're coming at me like I am a leaning fence, a leaning wall, a tottering fence. That gives the impression of someone that is weak. And what David says, do you remember what David has already declared all these times? Even in verses 1 and 2. God alone is my rock. God alone is my refuge. God alone is my salvation. He says, it feels like you think I'm a wall made of a lot of sand and a little rock. You think I'm a fence that's about to fall down. But God is my rock. He's my refuge. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. Come what may. Come what may. God alone is going to be there. Some of you in here today, you could stand and testify to that. You've faced things in your life. You've faced situations in your life. People have looked at your life and wondered, how did you ever make it? How is this? And your testimony would be this. Oh, the enemy thought I was a leaning wall. Oh, they thought they could say that. In fact, that's a good segue. Look at verse 7 and 8. Look at verses 7 and 8. Go back up to 4. I'm sorry. It says, they only plan to thrust him down from his high position. David says, listen, you think I'm a tottering fence? He says, why? Because, well, you're trying to thrust him down, thrust me down from a high position. He says, they take pleasure in falsehood. He's saying they're lying. What are they lying about? They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. Have you ever seen someone maybe, I'm hopeful this hasn't happened to you. They come and they bless you with your mouth, but you know inwardly they're far from you. They're saying lies because you realize, oh, they're spreading falsehood about me. They're attacking you. And you're needing a shelter. David says, this is exactly what's happening to me right now. You're attacking me. You're trying to hit me. You're trying to push me. You're trying to tear this down. But I'm telling you, God is my rock. God is my refuge. He's the one that I run to. Pastor R. Kent Hughes, he writes about something like this. And he says this, flattery is saying something to someone's face publicly that you would never say about them privately. Did you hear that? I'm going to make sure you heard that. It says, flattery is saying something publicly to someone's face that you would not say about them privately. Gossip, he says, is saying something privately about something, about someone that you would never say to their face publicly. Folks, you see, this is exactly, we face these things in our lives today. David faced these in his life. He says, listen, these are attacks that are coming after me. You think you can keep going. You can knock me down. You can pull me off the throne. You believe that you're going to destroy the kingdom of God. But I'm telling you, God is my rock. He's my salvation. He is my refuge in this day. Do you realize mocking God and his people it's always been? All the way, Nehemiah chapter 4, I don't want you to turn over there, but write it down. Nehemiah chapter 4, Nehemiah is called to go back to Jerusalem after the exile, after the captivity, and he's going to go back and he's going to build the wall back around Jerusalem that has been destroyed after all those years, after those 70 years. So as he goes back, there is obviously opposition that is happening. Those enemies that are around, they don't want this to happen. There's a man named Tobiah. Tobiah comes and he sees them building the wall, Nehemiah, and he starts mocking Nehemiah. Not fully realizing that when you mock God's people, you know who you're ultimately mocking? You're mocking God himself. And he starts to mock Nehemiah. He says, what do you think you're doing? You're building this wall? This wall's no good. Thank you, I caught myself right there. This wall is no good. This wall is no good right here. He said, in fact, it is so weak. Grab a hold here. He says, this wall is so weak that a fox, if he got onto it, he'd tear the wall down himself. 52 days later, at the complete of the wall, Nehemiah records the wall was so strong and so broad that two men could walk side by side all the way around it. Folks, today some of you are in a situation where it feels like you're being battered by the enemy. And he thinks he's going to knock you down, pull you down, distract you. You may literally have friends, co-workers, who are mocking you because of your stance. And I want to tell this to you. They're not mocking you. Oh, we may be the frontward face of it, but do you realize as one who has surrendered to Christ, one who has bowed their knee to Jesus, one who says, Jesus is my rock, Jesus is my refuge, that battering, that mocking that you're taking, that's to God. And Galatians tells us, do not be fooled. God will not be mocked. That's an encouraging word, that the Lord God does the battle for us. Why? Because for those of us who have surrendered our lives to him, those of us who have bowed the knee to him, those of us who have surrendered and said, Jesus, you are everything to me. That means God is our rock. Jesus is our rock. God is our refuge. Jesus is our shelter. Listen, Solomon, David's son, who would later become king, he had seen this so often in David. He had seen it so often that I believe he wrote about it. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10 says this, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runs into it and is safe. Listen, I'm a repeater if you haven't got it. God is our rock. He's our refuge. He's your shelter. He's your fortress. He's your strong tower. And you know where we run? Into him. We run to him. It doesn't matter the element that you're facing today. It may feel like a hurricane. It may feel like a storm. You may be going, oh, it's just the gentle rain. I got it. In fact, I'm going to take my little mini savior, my umbrella, and I'll be good. Can I tell you? You won't be. We run to the Savior. The Savior. Not a mini Savior. The Savior. Who is our rock and our refuge. The last thing is this, number three, I want you to see, is that God alone is my reward. God alone is my reward. Under there, I want you to write down, because you'll have to go back and see it yourself a little bit later, verses 1, 2, 6, and 7. Verses 1, 2, 6, and 7. David again repeats himself, and he says that God alone is his salvation. All of his salvation, everything that he's in need of, it comes only from God. It is due God. And he is only saved when God intervenes. That is it. David's speaking specifically about physical salvation. He needs to be saved from his enemies. He needs to be saved from those who are mocking him. And you know what God says? God says, I'll do that. You know why? Because you're my chosen. You're one of mine. You're my child. As a child of God in here, that same promise is for you today. That same promise is for you today. Now, for some of you in here today, I want to say that you don't have the hope of that salvation, him saving you out of that situation, because you've never surrendered or submitted your life to him. You've never bowed the knee to him. You've never said, Jesus, you are my only hope. You know what we've done? And the reason I can say this is because I've done this before. Prior to even coming to Christ, I'd set up all these little mini saviors thinking, this is going to fix it, this is going to fix it. I'm going to put my faith over here. I'm going to try this. And none of it saves us. In fact, the scripture tells us that our only salvation comes from Christ alone. In Christ alone. And the way that we find that hope, the way that we have that hope, the way that he becomes our rock, our refuge, and our reward is this. It's by trusting in Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for us. Who came and lived a sinless life. All the things that you and I are trying to do and we find ourselves in the middle of, and we feel like we're shackled by all these things. Do you know that Jesus came and lived a very perfect life? He never sinned. He came to his own people, the scripture says. He came to his own, and his own received him not. The scripture says he came so that they might have life, and you know what they did? They gave him death. They crucified him. They put him in a grave thinking he's dead and gone. We're going to roll a stone. We're going to seal it. Literally, we're going to seal it. He's not getting out. And we're going to put guards there. But the Bible tells us that on the third day, Jesus rolled that tomb away, that stone away, and he walked out of there. He walked out of there. And because he walked out, you and I now have the opportunity to have him as our rock, our refuge, and our reward. And today, just as I said last week, you weren't here, so I'll repeat it. In Psalm 23, it says that surely goodness and mercy pursue me all my days. Some of you in here today, you think you wandered in here, but it is the power of God that pursued you to this place. He's brought you here so that today, right now, you might have hope in him. You might have hope in him. For some of you in here today who are believers, in fact, I would say many of you in here, most of you probably are believers in Jesus Christ, you may be asking this question, okay, Kyle, so what do I do with all this? This is a psalm, it's a song, it's a poem. What do I do? How do I put some feet on this then? If he's my rock, he's my refuge, he's my reward, I want to say this to you. Part of him being your reward is this, is that in the middle of it, you will not be greatly shaken. In fact, he goes on to say in verse 7, I won't be shaken. You know why? Because come what may, Jesus is your reward. You know, I have the unique honor and privilege to be with people in their most vulnerable moments oftentimes. This weekend, I stood beside the bedside of a lady who had an emergency surgery. And the doctors came to her after the surgery and said, "You're not leaving this hospital." I went to her bedside and stood and talked with her. And she has trusted Christ as her Savior. She knows that. But it's still difficult. She's not out of it. She's still very much in her mind. I said, "Well, what are you doing in these days?" And she said, "I'm calling everyone I know. I'm telling them one last time what I think." And I said to her, "You also have an opportunity to tell them about your reward. Your hope in Christ." I said, "In this moment, I'm praying that the Lord God will heal you physically. But do you also realize that if He chooses not to heal you this way, when you close your eyes and open them, you're going to see your Savior face to face?" That doesn't mean, I want to make sure you hear me, that doesn't mean that it's not a little scary, it's not a little fearful. We held hands, we prayed. And you know what I tried to assure her of? Verse 11 and 12. Look at verse 11 and 12. "Once God has spoken, twice I've heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his works." If you are a follower of Christ in here, I need you to catch this. All power belongs to the Lord God. And today, wherever you're sitting, wherever you're standing metaphorically, He has the power to change your situation. And if He chooses not to change it, He has the power to help you walk through it, to give you power to walk through it. Ultimately, Jesus is our reward. The Scripture tells us in the book of 1 John that greater is He that is in you and He that is in the world. Do you realize that the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead resides in you as a follower of Christ? You can walk today knowing that God is my rock, He's my refuge, and Jesus, you are my reward. Notice the second thing He says here. He says that all steadfast love belongs to God. You know what steadfast love is? In the Scripture, whenever you see the word steadfast love, the words, it means His covenantal love. If you are in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, He has set His covenant of love on you. That means He will never leave you. He will never forsake you in the middle of where you are. When we're trying to set up all these little mini saviors, He comes and knocks them down and He says, "I'm enough. I'm enough. Because I love you, I love you, I love you." In fact, in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 is what I'd like to read. He says this, "The Lord passed before him," him is Moses. It says, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the God is a God merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.'" This is the God who is your rock, your refuge, and your reward. And then he closes that and he says this, "You will render to a man according to his work." Folks, you realize we don't work for our salvation, don't you? We do a lot of things because we've been given salvation. Salvation comes to us because of the work that Jesus did on the cross. And now our work is to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit who has come to reside in us. And in the midst of being battered, like a wall that's going to lean over, in the midst of being battered, when we stand in the face of the enemy and we say, "Bring it, keep it coming. My God is my strength, my refuge, my reward, my salvation. He's the stronghold I run into. He's the fortress that I need. In the midst of that, when we're displaying love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness, all of these things, people look and go, there's something different about you. There's something different. There's a strength that then we have the opportunity to say, yeah, listen, in a world where my tent is shaking, when the storms are coming, the waters are rising, I have absolutely no confidence in anything around me except Him and Him alone. In Christ and Him alone. He is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my reward. And I want to say, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians that our body is like a tent. And then in chapter 15, he says, all of us, not necessarily realizing it, are about to strike camp. And if you're placing any faith in your tent, your tent pegs, you're staking them to something other than a firm foundation of Christ, it's going to blow away. Today, my call to you, my prayer for you, my encouragement for you is to build the foundation of your family and your life on God alone, on Christ alone. For He is our refuge, our strong tower. And the righteous, we run into it and are safe, even in that storm. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for your word that gives us encouragement and power. Jesus, to you alone be glory and honor and power. To you alone. Today, as the band comes, I'm going to ask if you would to stand. Go ahead and do that now. There are some of you in here who need to talk to somebody. You need someone to pray with. You need someone to talk to. Here's what I would ask. In just a moment, I'm going to go out the door. I'm going to be out there and to the left. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. I'd love to help you build your house on the sure foundation of Christ. I'd love to help you understand how to do that. We have other staff members who will be out there. You may be going, I need someone to pray with. Around you are what we call life pointers. That means you've been here, you're a member of this church. You could stop and any one of them and say, will you pray with me? I just need you to pray for me. We want to stop and pray with you. God said His house will be a house of prayer for all nations. And so today, this is a day where if you're in need of prayer, we want to pray with you. Whatever it is that God's calling you to today, do not run out. Do not run away without building your house on His rock. Zeke?